Dear, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this hour that thou hast brought us together. Lord, in the evening of this day, O Lord, in which thou hast safely guarded us and watched over us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we have gathered together as a body of believers, thy church, that as thy word is before us, that our hearts would be open. Lord, speak mightily to each one of us. May we feel the power of thy word. May we feel thy presence, O Lord, as we've come to worship thee and to learn of thee. Bless us, one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading and meditation, I desire that we would turn to the prophet Daniel, chapter number 6. Prophet Daniel, chapter number 6. I desire to read the first 15 verses. In the first 13 verses. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Open this service with a hymn that we sang, that my faith gives peace and rest to me. Does it? When we think about faith, are we brought to peace and rest? When we think about our faith and how we live it, not how we say it, not how we say what we believe, but as we live our lives day by day, does my faith really give me peace? When I think of my God, what do I think of him? Do I think of him as one who is austere, one who is demanding too much from me? Or do I look at my God and want to bring him the glory, even as we closed in this prayer, that the words that are spoken this evening and really those, that's the theme of the Apostle Paul in all of his writings. He sought to give God glory. That at the end, always the goal was that God would be glorified. And we see that in Daniel too, a pattern where God is being brought forth all the time in all of in his writings, in his prayers, in what he was doing, the way he lived his life. We certainly can see that the faith of Daniel had given him a peace and a rest that you can't find in this world. And we sang that God would impress deeply upon our minds, upon our souls. It's a very beautiful thought. Impress deeply upon my soul the depth of grace that had made me whole. And so if we are made whole, then our faith does give us peace and rest. When we live in that faith and live out that faith, we have that. And then also should I not seek while here I live and practice all that here may give a foretaste of thy glory? So we seek and we live out. And in our lives, by living out, we're practicing all that gives us a foretaste of his glory. That would mean a renunciation, renouncing sin entirely. And again, we end with the same thought, impress thou deeply on my soul what depth of grace has made me whole. And as we read of this account of Daniel, these verses of it's a story that is very familiar to all of us, but it's never too much to think about. It's a thought that came to my mind as even this past Sunday we talked about some of the giants of the Old Testament, as we would think about the giants of faith, the men who is written of them, and is not meant to praise them. The stories that are written as these, the lives of faith that are brought forward, is not to praise the man. God forbid that any man would be praised. But it's always so that God would be given glory. Because Paul says repeatedly that the life that he had lived it by the strength that God had given him. So ultimately, it's not him, he says, it's not me. And the men always said, don't look at us as if we had did this. It's God. God gives his strength. God gives his ability. He gives the desire. He gives everything. It's all God. And glorify him, not man. And so we see that even in the writing of Daniel in the first opening verses, he talks about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and how he had besieged it. And he says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. That's it. Who did it? God did. It's not Nebuchadnezzar's greatness. It's not his power. He simply says, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, today we look at mighty nations and we put our trust and hope perhaps in the power of the United States and its military might as they spend $100 billion a year on increasing their might. And when America goes to war, there's no problem. We don't think about anything. We don't think that America could be given into the hand of another king because we do, in some way, rely upon its military might. Israel, the same way. Powerful army. We don't think of they could be given over into another king's hands as it was done here in Babylon. They were given over by God. Because of their unfaithfulness, because of their what God was bringing them through to get rid of the idolatry that had continually plagued Israel since they had left Egypt. And so Daniel just matter-of-factly says that Israel had been, or Judah had been given over unto Nebuchadnezzar. We see him as he is giving his, being called to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, as he is going to reveal this dream, he says, I thank thee and I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So he's recognizing everything. It's nothing of his own might. It's nothing of his knowledge. Nothing of his. It's all God's. And he says to Nebuchadnezzar, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And so, again, as he is going to give this dream to the king, he says it is God in heaven who is doing this. And again, even in the previous chapter, he tells the king, he says, thou hast lifted thyself against the Lord of heaven, because they brought those vessels out of the house. And he says, so he tells the king, you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. Again, God, he's bringing out God as all. And we have to keep in mind, as he is doing this, he is being promoted in the kingdom. So we look at his secular life, his work. He is being promoted to be on top of the entire nation, the kingdom. There's 120 governors that are in the land that have to now come and give an answer unto Daniel. So was he a busy man? Probably busier than any of us are. But did it take away from his prayer life? Well, we see here in this plot that the governors had made. Why? Because of jealousy. And we know what jealousy does. It is a sin that robs us of a unity with Christ. Because in jealousy, there is no room for in the life of a Christian. And what's really astounding here as we look at this, this is Daniel, who in his workplace, in the environment in which he was working in, the men that had plotted against him knew, as they looked and they turned every page over in the life of Daniel, trying to find something against him so that they could go and accuse him to the king. And they found nothing. They found nothing. This is his life in the workplace. They found nothing wrong with him. So they said, the only way we're going to find anything wrong is in his in his spiritual life. It's the only way that we can make an accusation. It's concerning his, concerning the law of his God. And so they knew that this Daniel, three times a day, would go and open the windows of his home towards Jerusalem, not towards the palace of the king, towards Jerusalem. He was taken out as a young child out of Jerusalem and taken captive. And we even know that everything about his life, even in the way that he had eaten, it tells us he refused to partake of the king's meat and drink. In no way did he want to be defiled in any way. And so he and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, we know that they sought out their own way of eating outside of the king's meals that were being brought forth. Everything about Daniel's life was a life of faith in God. And it gave him peace. And it gave him rest. Because now suddenly, here comes this decree. These men plot against him, and they create this law. They said, if you sign this, no one can change this. The king himself cannot change it. Once it's signed, the law for 30 days is, you cannot ask any man of anything about, you cannot ask any god, it says, or any man anything except the king. Anything you want to ask, you cannot ask any questions. You got to go to the king. That's it. And so they make this law, and now they know they got Daniel. They got him where they want him. Finally, they're going to find a fault with Daniel. And what is it concerning? Concerning the law of his God. What a blessed, blessed man he is, that the world cannot find anything against him. They can't accuse him unless it is against the law of his God. And so, as we sang the hymn, as we look at the life of Daniel, a giant of faith, do we look at this as, well, that was just some time ago in the history, long ago, and it's not pertinent to our life that we live today? And the question would be, why? Why isn't it? Has God changed? Does God require something different from you and me today than he did of Daniel back then? And so these men come and they bring this to the king, and they, if the king had looked it over, he wouldn't have seen the name of Daniel on that decree. But he, without thinking, signs this decree into law, and the law goes forth, and as it was signed, it says that Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and what does he do? He goes into his house, his windows open in his chamber, toward Jerusalem, falls upon his knees, three times a day, prays, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And he didn't look and say, well, I can... There's no law that's... The law of God did not say that this is how Daniel had to pray. This is how Daniel had prayed before. And so Daniel was not going to hide. Let's think about this. He could have prayed. He could have said to himself, well, I'm going to pray. Or it's just 30 days. I don't have to pray towards Jerusalem for 30 days. I can just hide in the woods, go somewhere where no one is seeing me, making a petition to my God. That wasn't the prayer life of Daniel. That wasn't how Daniel lived. That wasn't the faith that he had embraced. That wasn't the God that he loved, that he would have to hide because he's afraid of men. No. His faith gave him rest and peace. I can pray to my God, and I don't care what the king's decree is. I don't care what the 120 governors want my head. I don't care. I don't care if my life is required of me. Why? Because I serve a living God. A God who gives kings into other kings' hands. A God who gave me wisdom, knowledge. Why? Because I believe in him. I trust in him. And he is the ruler of all things. And he may not, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the friends of Daniel, said, "Be it known to you, O king, that if God doesn't save our lives, we will not bow before your idols." No. That takes, you know, when you're looking at the end of a life in a gruesome way, and through being thrown into a fire to be burned to death, to being eaten by lions and just shredded apart, torn limb by limb, or feel those jaws on your throat. However brief it'll be there. The terror of a lion charging at you. I mean, just think about this. And Daniel wasn't swayed. He didn't think about this, because his faith was in God. Not in that God will shut the lion's mouths. That wasn't his faith. His faith was given in peace and rest, because he knows he was serving a God where after this life, there's a life that goes on. Eternal, infinite. God is infinite, so life is infinite with him. You can never take anything away from infinite. You can't take any numbers away from infinite, because it's always infinite. And that's eternal life. The hymn Amazing Grace says something like that in the verse. It says, like, if after 10,000 years, it'll be as like just begun. It never grows old, because it's all about the glory of God. And it will take an eternity, because God is eternal, and it'll take eternity to know him. It's always, and so Daniel could care less about the moment of a jaws of a lion gripping his throat, or his friends, the flames licking at their bodies and pulling the life out of them. No, it didn't matter. But it didn't matter because they had a faith. They believed. And so we see here that Daniel goes as he did aforetime, and what do the men do? They assemble, because they knew. And I think what really is lost on us is the fact that these are men that were working with him. These are men who worked with him, who were followers in the kingdom that they were in. They were servants of the king and doing, you know, everything required, and they had a jealousy against him, and they knew that this was a man of faith. And they knew. This is what really strikes me. They knew that if they created this law, that he would not break the law of God. Is our faith known that way? That's what they did with Jesus. They tried to find something wrong with him, something that they could accuse him of, and they couldn't find anything. So finally, they had to pay liars to lie. You know, what can your fellow worker accuse you of? And me? What can they accuse us of? And say, I can't find any fault with him. He's a man of faith, integrity, clean, pure, lives his life as if he's not living in this world, yet tending to the needs of the day, of the job, as Daniel did, tending to all that was required of him. He was doing it, and it was to such a degree that the king was going to elevate him and put him in a place that is above. He's the second man in charge. And they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And then they come and remind the king, didn't you pass this law? Yes, I did. Well, that Daniel, they tell him, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he doesn't regard you, O king, nor the decree that thou signed, but he makes his petition three times a day. And we know the story as it continues, as Daniel is thrown in the lion's den. But I'd like to really just focus this evening our thoughts to take with us of a man of integrity, a man of faith, no fear, knowing that if this life is over, after he kneels and prays those three times, that if his life is required of him, he simply will be ushered into the courts of glory. And that we also would be encouraged to live our life in that manner. Because we don't know what awaits us. You can put your trust in your country's military all you want. When God gives it to another king, it's done. It's over. Life as you and I know it will be over. We could be captives. We could have all kinds of decrees placed on us too. And where are we today? If today we're told you can't gather, what are we going to do? Oh, well, you know, it's only for 30 days. You know, it's just 30 days. We got to just hang tight. You know, don't make too much commotion. Just relax, hide. And after 30 days, we come back out. It's only 30. But, you know, we're going to pray on our own. And that wasn't the point. Man of faith didn't waver. And, you know, if we don't live our lives today as Daniel did, where his co-workers, ungodly men, could not find an accusation to give against him. If our lives aren't lived in that manner today, we won't have that faith to be able to stand. You know, I think there's a hymn that even says, if you think that in greater trials you're going to make your faith, you're going to show your faith, but the little ones you put aside, or you don't think it's a big deal, you're not going to be found faithful in the big one. You think Daniel could have been found faithful here if he's lying and cheating and stealing or whatever, womanizing or flirting or whatever it is? If he's out here doing those things now, is he going to be found faithful when a decree like this is signed? No, he's going to run and hide and pray then. And so these stories are written for us, dear ones, that we would learn and see what faith does. Stops mouths of lions. And again, we know in the chapter of faith it says, and some it didn't. Some of the lions had taken a hold of them. Some were sawn asunder. Some died, but they died in faith. Daniel ended up dying anyway. He still died. But he died in faith. And it's a story that is written, the entire book of Daniel is written to see how God moves in a man who puts his full trust in him. And that is my prayer this evening, that each of us would consider our own life. And as we begin this hymn, look at your own life. You'll know. Does your faith give you peace and rest? Does the God, the living God whom we serve, is he my life as he was Daniel? In every part of Daniel's life, you see God. God first, foremost, in everything. Is God first and foremost in our life? That is in every aspect of our life. Because we see, as we move through the book of Daniel, in every aspect of his life, we see God there. And so may God richly bless each one of us this evening to give us these moments, that he gives us these moments like this where we can reflect upon a man of faith. Men that we can be. Men that God's hand is not shortened today. It's the same hand that led Daniel, the same hand that led and saved all the faithful giants of old, the faithful men of old. It's the same God, the same hand that is outstretched. It's not shortened. He can give us the same victories, the same peace and the same joys, the same, nothing different. Imagine living that life where every night you go to bed free, knowing you lived for his kingdom, thanking him, glorifying him that he empowered you as you embraced his law. You embrace his law. You embrace him and you yield to him. And he gives us the victory in Christ. Amen.
Truly, we can testify that living a life of faith gives us a peace in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives, that we can know that he who is eternal is in full control, and we trust in him. Hebrews 11 that was referenced, there's a verse in there that says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There are those in the Bible who have gone on before, Daniel being one of them, that have diligently sought the Lord, that have placed their faith in him, that have placed their lives into his care and into his keeping, and would trust in him in all things. And they had that peace in their minds and in their hearts. And then when we get to that point where we're pleasing God because we have faith in him and we have diligently sought him, then the glory goes to the Lord, even as it did when Daniel was in his time and Joseph was in his time. All the glory goes to the Lord. And John the Baptist even recognized this as well and said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Daniel certainly had that perspective as well, that the Lord must increase and we must decrease. May we go forth in faith, trusting in him, whatever awaits us in our lives, trusting in him and knowing that when we trust in him, we are pleasing him. We are pleasing the Lord, the one who is eternal, the one who has all things in his hands and raises one king and puts down another. We trust in him who gives life. Amen.